Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana maulana muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. أما بعد by the fadl and grace of mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, we are again sitting in this world and this life while we have some time to repent and to please Allah Azza wa Jal. Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Dabbar rahimahullah said that the purpose of Allah Azza wa Jal giving long life to people, 50, 60, 70 years life people get, 40 years or 30 years, 25, still it's a considerable amount of time. People, many children, babies, they die in young age, but they are not responsible. From the Sharia point of view, they are not held responsible for the deeds and practices. And when a person becomes mature and baligh, when he becomes responsible, then he has mostly a time till 18 years he lives, or 20 or 30, 40 years, 60, 70 years. So Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Dabbar rahimahullah said that one of the reasons why a person gets a long life for some time, some years of his life, is that he pleases Allah Azza wa Jal. Maybe doing one act he can do, such an act with such sincerity and such truthfulness and such ikhlas, that Allah Azza wa Jal forgives him because of that action. Because you have, and I have heard and read in a hadith that many people were forgiven on one act which they had done. For one act with sincerity, one sajda, without any other motive, any other intention, any pressure, any kind of external pressure, or any kind of motive other than Allah Azza wa Jal, that one act is sufficient, it can be sufficient for the person actually to be forgiven. Allah Azza wa Jal in many instances has forgiven with His mercy and grace that the people doing one act, such as feeding or a dog, such as giving water, quenching the thirst of a dog. Rasulullah ﷺ said, a fahisha woman, a prostitute woman amongst Bani Israel had been forgiven just by actually that she gave water to a thirsty dog. So this means that she did that with sincerity and ikhlas. So alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah, we are sitting here and we have not died, and that Israel alayhi salam has not visited us with the decree of death. So we should consider ourselves lucky and fortunate that we may use this opportunity, the instances left in our life, that we may use them, because when if the time comes, then actually there is no respite. Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. When the final decree or death of a person comes, he or she, or they are not given any further extension, 1 second, or they cannot be given. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, إِذَا جَاءَ وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is all fully aware of what acts and what deeds you do. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware that a person is not left alone, that Allah azza wa jalla says that you go and spend and live your life in this world 40, 60, 70 years, and I will see you on day of judgment. It's not a matter of like this. Allah azza wa jalla is close to you now as well as He was before. His nearness, His knowledge, His wisdom, His power and His majesty, His qudra and tasarruf is still all powerful as it was in the past, as it is now. These past and present and yesterday does not apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is above all these things because He has created. So these Muslims, alhamdulillah, who, as I said, there are two ways of looking at things. One is negative way, one is positive way. One is positive way means that person gets something beneficial. Negative means he loses something if he looks at from that point of view. As I gave you the example once before, that if a person gives you as a gift few roses and flowers, now there are also thorns or prickles with the flower of rose. Gulab ke phool ke saath kaante bhi hote hain. Now there are people who will only always see the thorns, and they will see that person has given me thorn, I have injured myself and wounded myself. And then there will be other people who will not see the thorn, but they will see the beauty of the rose and the color and the fragrance and the smell, and they will be thankful. And they will benefit, because when they are thankful, inshallah, that person will be happy and he will give more, he will be more, when a person is more appreciative. And if a person is unthankful by looking at his own negative view, then he will be deprived of the ni'mah. So similarly, to every creation, every instance and every event which occurs in the world, in your life, in other people's life, there is something to learn from it, something positive to learn from it, if you have the right mindset. Like for example, last time I said to you that these people, Muslims, also have been killed or died in the disasters. One way of looking at it is that they were sinful, that's why they've been punished. This is one way of looking. But I say that this is not the correct view. Correct view, you can also, if a person has good mind and he has good way of, he is positive minded and he takes lesson, he can consider, or it is factual thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Jibreel alayhi salam, O Jibreel, that who is classed as martyrs in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Jibreel alayhi salam said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people who die fighting in the way of Allah to elevate the word and the command and the sharia and the divine law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people in striving or fighting, when they are killed, they are martyrs, they are shuhada, their sins are forgiven, they are have a special status amongst the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jibreel, if this is the case, then in my ummah there will be few, consider the ummah is based on billions and billions of people, but there will be few who have reached this stage of shahada. Then Jibreel alayhi salam came back, he went to Allah azza wa jal and he brought the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then mentioned that now in my ummah a person who dies while drowned in water, he is also shaheed. So one way of looking at this, that they were the blessed people, those alhamdulillah, that they have been given by the fadl of Allah. They didn't want to die. A person does not become shaheed if he kills himself. He cannot, nor in the war, nor in battle, nor like this. They didn't want to be killed. They were trying to save themselves. But the water overtook them. So alhamdulillah, they have status of shaheed. And we are sitting here, state of sinfulness, filled with my baggage and of sins is with me. And their all baggage is cleared with one splash of water. All sins are forgiven. Actually, and they have a great reward. Or wo shaheed ban gaye. Similarly, a person who dies in an accident or a war, for, there are so many, about 30 different types of shuhada, ulama has actually counted them, that people die in 30 different ways, they are classed as shuhada, meaning that they get the reward of shuhada, meaning that their sins are forgiven, unke gunah maaf ho jate hain, and they are blessed people, wo shaheed ban jate hain, jis tarah like they have died in the way of Allah. So their sins are forgiven also,
because of the calamity which befalls on them and struck their calamity which strikes them. Also, additional to that, not only, let's say, I get headache, my sins are forgiven because of that. If a Muslim gets some kind of discomfort, no matter its slight, his sins are forgiven. Her sins are forgiven. But those people did not only had their sins forgiven, but they have the reward of Shaheed as well at that time. The Vidyat as well. So one day a person will look and he will see, oh, how blessed and how lucky and how actually lucky these people were. One way is that the other person with negative mind and not the good mind, he will say, oh, these people were sinning. That is why actually, na'udhubillah, they have been killed and they were Muslims outside, but they were bad Muslims. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them. So that's one way of looking at it. The second way, as I'm saying to you, is also by looking at this dimension, from that they are blessed people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has had mercy and grace and fadl on them, that no matter, maybe they lived, that flood wasn't there, and they lived this life, maybe they had died in state of sinfulness. Kya pata wo gunah ki zindagi mein marte? Maybe they died while doing without tawbah, they had died doing something bad or any act. But now, even they were bad or even they were sinful, they are forgiven. Not only forgiven, but highly rewarded to the state of, at least, to the status of shaheed. Yani, do Allah paake. So you see, for every for all events and all occurrences in this world, in your life, there are person, good person, as they say, half glass full of water. Always, some people, if you can tell me what's the state of this glass, some will say half empty, some will say half full. Although the glass is the same and it's half filled. So some will always see the empty side. They say, glass, other glass khali hai. The others will say, tell me what is it. They will say, the half of his glass is full. Meaning the glass is full, half of. So they are looking at what is in there, and the others look what's not there. So similarly, there are people like us who are looking what they don't have. They do not look what they have. And when they have this attitude, this leads them actually to unthankful. So that is why we are unhappy with people, unhappy with relations, wife unhappy with husband unhappy with wife, others, people, nations displeased and happy because they expect so much from people. And many people ask questions again and again, and I'm going to answer that they say that to the people which we do good. Let's say someone needs money, you gave that person money. Someone needed a lift, you gave them a lift. Someone were ill, you helped them. Someone living in Bangladesh or India, Pakistan, you arranged or you helped them to come over to England, etc. Now people ask this question, hundreds of times people are asked, but why is it that the people we do good, that they turn back and become your enemies, or they hate you, or they dislike you, while other people are living actually normally, and they are living as normal people, loving, or have normal relations. But these people, sometimes who you favor, who you do favors to, they actually become your, they dislike you, and they do not get on with you, and they are not very thankful or appreciative, while you expect that they should be appreciative, unko shukar karna chahiye, and such as that. That's how they should do. But people ask that, why is it that when a favor is done to people, most people, they do not only forget, but they don't remember. And then people remind them, such and such day, I did this to you, etc. And they say, we are not bothered, etc. So, this question, first, so the one answer is very light answer, and the other is a little bit intellectual, academic answer. So I will give you and make you understand with a light-hearted joke, you may say, or light-hearted example, which you maybe people understand better. So let's say two people, one man, another man, they met outside. One says to the other, Assalamu alaikum. He says to, for just as their name is Bashir and the other one's name is there. Bashir says Assalamu alaikum to the others. And the other one turns away and with funny and aggressive face, he actually turns away and starts to walk on the other side. You know. This person is good hearted and he does not like that why this brother is displeased with me. So this person goes to this and he says to the Bashir, the Nazir, Brother Nazir says, Brother Bashir, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Bashir. He goes on and holds him and he says, Brother, I just want to ask you a question. He said, what? He said, last year you needed £5,000 to go to Bangladesh and because there was some tragedy, etc., etc. And I actually gave you, didn't I give you some money? He said, yeah. He said, yes. Answered, yes, you did. Then he reminds him another favor, whatever he's done, that I did such and such favor, such and such day to you. Didn't I do a favor to you? I gave you a lift last year, and I gave you a car, and I paid your bill, some hospital bill, you were ill. Or whatever favor he has done, your son was drowning in such and such lake, and I risked my life and saved him, didn't I? He said, yes, you did. So you can just imagine hundreds of favors he can say. And that person keeps on saying, yes, you have done this. Yes, you have done this. Yes, you have done this. These favors. Didn't I help you set up business when you didn't even have a job? And now you are saying in millions, yes, you did. And then he said, then why this turning away? Why are you turning away from me? Why you are not even answering my salam? And why you are so agitated? Why are you acting, behaving? Are you frowned? Are you frowned and you are turning away? And he thinks, and he answered, what have you done lately for me? And there lies the answer. So a person or a human being, or be it a wife, be it a brother, anyone, who you do favors to, no matter how many, and so why now when they are turning away from you and they are not befriending you and they are turned against you, or they are not even thanking what you did 1 year before, or you brought that person from another country, etc. Why they are turned away from you, why they are not happy with you, is because they are expecting that you have not done anything lately as a favor to them. We said, for example, that what have you done lately to me? Have you given any money in the past week? No. Well, that you should know now why I am unhappy. Have you done a favor in the last 2 weeks? I said, no. Now that you should know why I am unhappy. So we forget this. So people never, if a person is trying to make them happy and pleased on this basis that you are doing favors and helping people and going on to their janazas and looking after their, when they're ill, you ask them, when they're in need, you help them. If you've been doing it for pleasing them, don't expect actually that they will be pleased. Why? Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, in many verses of the Quran, that even Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given such a great gift to people, He gave them existence. Person is existing as a human being. He still, people are not happy with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And someone is saying that I don't have this, and others have million, I have thousand, they say. And the hundred ones say, I have hundred, the others have thousand, I don't have this, and they have hundred things to complain, still not pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how on earth can they be happy with me and you? But yes, those people who do these acts of favor and helping people to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their reward is saved. It's preserved. It's locked now. No one can actually take that away. Except you yourself. If you mention again and again to other people, I said, and remind them of your favors and your good behaviors and sadaqat and khairat with them, then obviously your reward will also go away. But now you know that people, on all cities, 1,000 people is living, and they're all happy with you. One person who you did favor to, why he is not happy? Why he is not very pleased with you? It's because he is expecting that, why have you done favor lately to him? Last month, 1 year before, you set him a business. Now he's saying, why didn't you set another business last month for me? So people expect and expect as well. That is their nature. Especially women and man, husband and wife, when they dispute, normally the wife would remind that I have left my parents for you, etc. And I have done that, and I have done this, and the other, and I've never seen comfort in this house, I've never actually seen any wore good clothes, I've never had what I wanted. And the husband is saying that I have been working nights for you, days for you, in factories, and I have been going through this suffering. So they are reminding each other. It can never end. There is no end to it. So simple, if you want to go in comfort, if you want to be in itminan and sukoon, is simple. But don't do any act for people. Don't do a favor to people to please them. Then you won't. When you will, first of all, you erect, you make a wall of expectation, high wall of expectation. It comes to here, then it comes, you do a little more favor, it goes to here. Your expectation is raised. Another favor, your expectation is raised. And when that wall is demolished, when that actually comes down, you are upset. Obviously that wall of expectation, you have raised yourself. And when the creation does not live to that expectation, and that wall, wo diwar gir jati hai, then you become upset. So who have made you upset? You yourself, you are making yourself upset. And sad, and sorrow, and grief, and painful, and the misery, and the psychological trauma you're going through, you've done it yourself, because you've yourself been raising expectation. I gave this brother £10, when I will need £100, he will give me £100. Then you do another favor, your wall of expectation is raised. Now that person who does not raise this wall of expectation, he does not expect anything from anyone. So he's got not even so high wall, never. He hasn't got any wall at all, no expectation from the creation. To him, even small thing, even if anyone gives, he's happy. Because his wall is so small, it's not even from high from the ground, so anything small reaches him, he's happy. While on the other hand, what you should do, yes, when you're doing it for Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then you should raise the wall of expectation towards Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that put your hope in me. Apni jo umeed hai aur wo mujhse rakho. Makhlooq se na rakho. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah says, whoever puts expectation in the creation, he turns his back to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah said, whoever turns his face to creation, in his heart to creation, he turns his back actually towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And the creation will never actually be thankful, never can actually give you without the will of Allah Azza wa Ta'ala. Even if they want to give you, they cannot give you. So what Islam teaches is that you do good to people, you do favors to people, you be good to them, because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has instructed you, and Rasulullah ﷺ has commanded, and it was his blessed sunnah, so you be good to people. Not hoping anything back from them, any return from them, any whatever bonus or anything whatsoever from them, not expecting. But where you put your expectation? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you will put expectation there, then you see, Allah. No one can stop when Allah wants to recompense you, or compensate you, or reward you, or bestow you with a ni'mah, or withhold a ni'mah from you, none can give. If he wants to withhold a blessing, none can actually give. وَيَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بَذُرِّنْ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts anyone with harm, no one can actually set that at ease, or remove that harm, or remove that calamity from him. So all the time, many people, all their life they suffer this. And when they sit with their families, with their friends, all they have is to complain. You know such a person? Yes, I know. I did this for him, I did this, and these days he does not even say salam for me, and he's turned his face from me. Well, this shows that person has done good or not is different matter, but how his behavior is, this shows that you also have been doing those amal for people, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For riya, for showing off, and to just to please people. So now that is a punishment on you. That actually, that the creation which you did, now that same creation is battling with misery and with calamities and with unthankfulness towards you, and you are living in psychological and mental torture. While only Allah and Salihin and righteous people, that's why they are in sukoon. They don't expect anything from it. Someone says, Assalamu alaikum, they are happy. If someone does not say, it doesn't bother them. If someone gives them something, they are happy. If someone doesn't give them something, they are not. Because they don't see the things coming from them anyway. As Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahimahullah says, that I don't take from you, he was saying to people, I take by the command of Allah from you. It is in my decree, my destiny, my risk, actually I'm taking from your hand. So they see it coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If calamity befalls through people on you, that is also actually a punishment for a person, or a test for a person, or to raise his or her awareness. So be careful. You will find in social gathering, marriage, women sitting together, friends sitting together, almost the topic of their talk will somehow come to this, that they have done something to someone and the other one is not returning in favor, etc., or praising them, and they have a complaint. Somehow it will come to this matter, that I did this to this person and this person did not return. I helped him such and such day and he did not return. I helped him, I said salam, he did not answer me. So if you have said salam to someone, that person has not answered, he has done a sin, you have not done any sin, you are rewarded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You did not say salam to please that person, you said salam to fulfill the right of the Muslim, other brother, and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person, if you come in the zaviya, let's say, brother is sitting here, assalam, you say assalamu alaikum, and he does not listen to you. That person who has put expectation in people, he will become agitated. His face will change, his mood will change. Many people will say, our mood is off now, don't let him talk with us. Only Allah, their mood is never off like this. They, if their mood or their anger, it falls on someone, that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they are pleased with someone, they are pleased because that person is obedient to Allah, that person is obedient to the messenger of Allah, that person is serving Allah azza wa jal, that person is serving them. And they are unhappy with those people who are, they are not happy on people, but they are happy, unhappy with them, those people who are harming themselves. The person is cutting his leg, then the other comes angry on him. So who is he doing good to? If a person is sitting there and cutting his leg with a saw, and the other person becomes angry on him and displeased, so really that person is becoming angry on that person because he is harming himself. He is not becoming angry because of himself. So similarly, those people who commit sins with arms or sin or with their hands or feet, etc., it's much more severe than cutting with the saw. So when Awliya Allah and Salihin, by following the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallam, they become angry and they become displeased with those people who harm themselves for their betterment, or they are violating the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, not for personal reason. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Sunnah all his life that he never took revenge from someone for personal matter, but for deen, actually he did. And he did fight in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. He also executed the commands of Allah regarding the punishment of different acts, but not for actually his personal. So these things actually are very, very important, which can, because all the time when you wake up to your sleep, you are interacting with people. Because you are interacting with people, when you know how to interact, when you learn from the Sunnah of Rasulullah and Awliya Allah, that the Prophet of Allah, was interacting with all the Ummah. But still all the Ummah is pleased with him. All the Muslims were pleased with him. No one is unhappy with him. It was such his blessing, ikhlaq. Similarly, awliya Allah and Salihin and righteous and ulama and scholars, that they also, the ulama who are ba'amal and who are practicing, they also try to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. Now for personal matter, they wouldn't say anything. If someone swears, they wouldn't say. I was heard here from a scholar, Imam, our great Imam passed, and he said that in his nasiha, in his words of advice, I don't remember the exact words, but he said that do not argue, do not go into argument with a fool and a forbearing person. He said two persons you never should argue with. With forbearing means Halim, a person who is forbearing, that who, it doesn't bother him. He knows what he is forbearing, he can tolerate. He said the more you argue, you don't argue with the fool and don't argue with the forbearing. If you argue with the fool, he, as I said last time, he's never going to understand you. No matter, simple, you say 2 plus 2 is 4, he will say no, it's 4.5. So when he's got mind like this, no matter he spent 1,000 days or 1 year, he's still going to say something like this. So he's going to draw you into argument more and more, deeper and deeper, and there's no end to it. So he's not, so no use. He's no, the scholars, great scholar Imam Muhasabi said that do not actually argue with a fool and a Haleem person. Haleem means he's the type of people, the righteous and awliya Allah, that they are forbearing. For personal reasons, they are not going to become angry. So the more you argue with them or agitate or shout at them, it's coming back to you. They are not going to be bothered. Their bosoms and their breasts and their hearts are so expanded that actually such things even do not bother them. Like Holy Allah said that the breasts or the Jusine hai, Holy Allah, they have their hearts and their spirits are such like ocean. Sumundar ki tarah hai. Sumundar. People, you see, all the people throw dirt and filth, different kind of filth into the sea. The sea is still clean. Sumundar ka paani napaak nahi hota. If someone puts even tons and tons of filth in the sea, it never becomes napaak. Sumundar phir bhi paak hai. Because it's not bada hai, it is infected. While you put few drops actually of some other filth or impurity in one glass of water, it will suddenly become impure. So they say that now this thing cannot be seen physically, yes, but due to the interaction, due to you are sitting with people and sitting with them and interacting with them, doing business with them, dealing with them, traveling with them, living with them, you can know that how much they have expansion. So only Allah, although outwardly they might be looking very weak, but inwardly their hearts are like the sea. So people are throwing all kinds of different dirt. Someone is swearing, someone is being unthankful to them, someone is shouting, someone is being disrespectful. They are not bothered. What the sea? See, it doesn't bother the sea. But jo marzi karte raho. It is Haleem, so he said, Imam al-Muhasibi said, that do not even argue with the Haleem person, because you are wasting your time. He's not going to respond to you. And while us, we actually have small, the size of the heart in our body, I think the physical heart is equal to the spiritual heart as well. So small, if a person is just looks with such eyes, and I might become agitated, oh, why this person was looking at me? Oh, why this person said my opinion and he objected on it. Why did he object on my opinion? Because that was revelation. Na'udhu billah. Never actually, even Rasulullah said that if someone had another opinion against his opinion when he was not the matter of Sharia, he even was not displeased. People sometimes at the Battle of Badr, or another battle when Rasulullah said that I want you to, in this battle, we should have our army here. And the companion, one of the companions and others said, Ya Rasulullah, are you saying with this your own opinion, or is it the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it revelation? Prophet said that this is my own opinion, my own observation. So they said, then Ya Rasulullah, then it is better, I see that we have it somewhere else there, in the Battle of Badr, where the wells were, etc. So Rasulullah listened, and he actually just followed what the companion opinion he gave. So this was guidance. Although on that matter, obviously Rasulullah knew what was better. Allah could reveal to Prophet what is better. But this is giving lessons to the people coming unto the Day of Judgment. If you give your opinion, if someone does not agree, do not actually be agitated. It is your opinion, it is not revelation. So it doesn't agree. Maybe you are wrong. Maybe that person, but that person have every right to keep his opinion and not to agree with you. So it's no need to be angry that I was sitting in a meeting or mashwara and I did this, asked this, and these brothers did not agree with me, and you have keep a kind of blemishes or some kind of hatred and animosity in yourself. And that is, you're only torturing yourself. So I will just read a few ahadiths, inshallah, to you regarding continuing with our normal chapter, we were covering humbleness and humility, tawadu and inkasari. And these things which I have just mentioned, they are more important actually than even the text sometimes it is read, because they give you the insight, the meaning behind the prophetic teachings in normal words, so they should be applied, which is more understandable. Sometimes people cannot understand what the prophetic traditions are saying in detail. Like there have been ulama from fuqaha, especially the people of jurisprudence, they from one hadith, not a very long hadith, a short hadith, as a hardly a page. One hadith, they have sometimes deduced more than 200 masail from one hadith. Imagine. Ek hadith, unhone padhi, the fuqaha, like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. Ek hadith, padhi, like you read, I read, muhaddisin, other muhaddisin, also they read a hadith and scholars hadith. But when faqih, when the scholar of jurisprudence or mujtahid, he reads that hadith, his understanding is completely different. So you might read the hadith, oh brother, this brother is praying like this, it's not right because it says in hadith such and such. But when the mujtahid reads the hadith, imagine 250 masail from one hadith. So when they are reading hadith, imagine their mind is working in such a way that they are driving an wealth, an ocean of knowledge from that. So one cannot imagine. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah and blessing, one day I will read that hadith to you and mention those masail, 200 or more masail actually which they deduce from such a hadith. So similarly with all other hadith as well. So that's why one scholar, someone said to a scholar who was not appreciating or respecting, honoring Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said that Imam Abu Hanifa only knew 10 hadiths or something like this. Well, he was scholar of hadith and great scholar, and he said that he only knew 10 hadiths, or he didn't know the hadith or the saying of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that the scholar said to him, then Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah is wise and knowledgeable and understanding more than all other people living in this ummah. He said, how he only knows 10 hadiths? He said, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah has written with his own instruction about 200,000 masail of fiqh. His students have written 200,000, 2 lakh masail aapne likhi hain fiqh. He said, you need quite a good level of intelligence to withdraw or to deduce 200,000 masail from 10 hadiths. If he knew 10 hadiths, then he's even more intelligent, that he gave his opinions and his masail and his fiqh from 10 hadiths. And if you say he knew more, then still he is more knowledgeable. He if you say he only knew this ahadith. Man cannot imagine. So that is why we should sit with our local scholars, those scholars who are acting upon their knowledge. Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه said that do not sit with such a scholar who is not acting upon his knowledge. He will harm you more than he benefits you. So جو اپنے علم پر عمل نہیں کر رہا اس کے پاس نہ بیٹھ. So what to say about normal people? Normal people, اگر وہ برے ہیں تو ان کی کمپنی تو کبھی نہیں. Even scholars who have wealth of knowledge in them, but if they are not acting upon their knowledge, ان کے پاس نہ بیٹھ. دل مردہ ہو جائے. They say your heart will also die as well. Because there is such a wrath or ghazab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those people who don't practice at all what they actually know. So do not sit with those scholars who, even they might have not great knowledge, but they are acting upon their knowledge, they are following the sunnah, they are actually following the mustahbats as well, they are doing other matters as well. According to the Sharia, and they don't sin openly, etc. And you be steadfast on Sharia, then you sit with them and you benefit them. And when a scholar is only a scholar of words, because in Islam it's not only talk and talk, as they say, when now the time of you have talked the talk, and now is the time to walk the walk. So it's not all the time talk to talk and study and study and study and talk and talk. But the walk also should correspond with the talk as well. So a person should walk as well with this. Like, who has more knowledge? Amongst normal, you can say, scholars as we study here or there, more knowledge than shaitan. So why people, we would not sit with shaitan? He has the knowledge, he's got the knowledge, even knowledge more than many of the scholars. The Christians, they do not know that what really it was revealed on Jesus Christ, or what was the origin of it, or any changes or not. They have a record, but they are not sure, 100%. Similarly, Jewish people. But Shaitan, he knows exactly what Injil was and what was written in Injil. He knows what was written in Torah. He knows what is written in Zabur. He knows what was written in the Sahih of or the scriptures of Moses, and other additional revelation came on Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and all other prophets. He got the original message. He got, moreover, he knows the angel, he knows Ibrahim alayhi salam as a personal friend. At one time he was befriending him, so he knows. But why we should not sit with Shaitan? So if a person makes this criteria, the knowledge only, then the shaitan is the best person you can sit with, because these are not normal people even can have that amount of knowledge. But yes, we are instructed to sit with the mightiest. And in this day and age, I do not say, but the scholars, ulama say, the person who puts on the TV, he lets himself associate with the most evil people actually in the world sometimes. Sometimes they are only showing evil and bad things, although they are good things as well. So that is why the ulama, they say, that a person who is under training, he is not fully trained, he is not purified, he cannot rely on himself to control himself, he should even not go near the TV. Because that is bad company. One channel he switches, an ancient time you have to go and travel to bad people and sit with them, and they are laughing and they are saying this and that and the other. But now you just have to switch on TV, you can be with the most good people as well at one time, but 90% they are just actually people whose heart is dead, and you are accompanying them. So 1 hour you watch them, you are in their company. Company is not when they sit on your shoulder, then you say you are in their company, or you are sitting on the shoulders of others. That is a bad company. Company is that you are listening and you are enjoying their conversation and sitting with them, and you are listening to them and laughing and reacting and doing what's happening. So if you watch any film, you are in the company of those people. If you watch any drama or any show or anything like this, you are in company of those people. So this saying that keep away from bad company, I don't want to sit with a person living next to the street because sometimes he goes to the pub, but I will sit with the people who are in the pub to the TV. That is quite actually strange. I don't associate with those people because they swear and these. But a person is sitting and accompanying pillars and other people who are just teaching basically people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that also is, so the scholars, yes, they have opinion. And they say, well, anything coming through the TV, everything is not najais. But when something, some instruments or a product, when its harm is more than its good, its benefit, then it is disallowed. When its harm is more. For the TV, for a person say, I listen to 1 hour, 10 hours of Quran in the TV. Imam Kaaba is reciting and I listen, and then another one, 10 hours of Quran. 5 minutes he watches a non-mahram woman or dancing or music. That 10 hours is also gone, and as the extra sin is also thrusted upon that person's spirit. So there's no flexibility there. If 100% a person can, if he knows he can trust himself, and he knows that he such control and able to control himself, then still, if he keeps himself to himself and do a dhikr, etc., and other things, it is better for him. Because again and again, how many people amongst here sitting, they have tried to watch the good program, but ended up watching other trivial programs. And gradually the shaitan actually keeps you. Moreover, the thing which I said to you is, good company is important. And when you are having, by watching TV, especially films and other things, you are having bad company. And definitely it will be affected. You won't be able to get up for tahajjud that day. You won't be able to do proper zikr that way. Because all the darkness is in yourself. You've been associating with them. All through that, imagine 1 day a program which vividly is imprinted in your mind. Second day, it's in your mind again. And you are thinking again. That happened, this happened, that happened. I saw this, it was bad, but I saw it, etc., etc. Now coming back to the original state, this will be difficult. So why set up on such a journey when there is loss only there? So that is also, that's why ulama has also said that the singing and dancing and musical singing is disallowed, because you are letting yourself be in company. No one, if anyone considers that to go on a dance show and sit there and to listen to the dancing women and music. But when they put a tape recorder, no matter on the CD, the songs and the music, they are doing the same thing. The effect of actually on the ears is the same as actually it was before. So the Sharia tries to even block those roads actually which leads to sin. So that is why the preserving of the eye, preserving of the ears and other matters is recommended and also very strongly emphasized, because these lead to sin. And then a person is saying, then he doesn't have any control over after he's there. He is completely then in the hands of shaitan. Whichever way he wants to turn, he will turn. حضرت ابو حریرہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ فرماتے ہیں کہ نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی خدمت میں ایک شرابی کو لایا گیا. حضرت ابو حریرہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ سے that a person was brought to the majlis of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. He had been drunk, drinking alcohol. And he had come once before and twice before, and now it was the third time he was coming. And he was called. At that time, the Sharia declared the alcohol is haram. But this person also was known as Himar, and he also did light-hearted jokes with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As such, he said that, "Oh, Hazur sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ke liye ghee ka kuppa aur shahad ka kuppa batore hadiya la." He used to bring as a gift or hadiya, sometime a portion of honey or butter as a gift for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then actually when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted his gift, he would accept his gift. Sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not accept gift. There are adab of taking the gift of the from people, and everyone's gift is not accepted. Like one of these great saints, he used to say, when someone gave him a gift, he used to say that if after you gave me this gift, my status in your eyes is raised or lowered, tell me the truth. Agar ye tohfa tum mujhe de rahe ho, if after giving me this gift, in your eyes, in your mind, truthfully, my status is higher or than lower. If you would say it's lower, he would not accept. If you would say it's higher, then he would accept. And there are other adab and etiquettes to accept or reject gift. It's not that everything should be accepted and everything should be rejected. So, Rasulullah mostly did accept gift. And if he did not, there were certain reasons, and those are also outlined in the hadith. So Prophet accepted gift, and this person was such a person that where he had bought these gifts from, let's say 2 kilos of shahad or honey, and when that shopkeeper or there he said, now you give me the money, you have bought this on credit, and he used to bring that person, the shopkeeper, to Rasulullah as well, and he said, Rasulullah, this person is demanding money, I want you to give him the money. And Prophet said, which money? He said, last week the gift I brought for you, the gift I brought to you, that was actually money for that gift. So, and Rasulullah sallam, and Prophet sallam used to smile from this act, or qeemat ke mutalak hukam dete, and he would command that the price should be, the money should be paid, di jati. So he had this element. So imagine this is the etiquette or forbearing of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I was saying, too, that imagine the blessed sina or breast of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, "Alam nasharah laka sadrak," have we not opened your breast? Okay? Meaning it's so expand. I imagine that never Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam affected by anything other than person harming himself or actually doing regarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such anger was unleashed as it was from Prophet ﷺ that no person had that kind of wrath and anger. But that's for Allah azza wa jal. So this person was once brought to Rasulullah ﷺ, as I was saying to you, the same person who became drunk. Aapne apne sahab ko hukam diya, Rasulullah ﷺ instructed his companion, ke isse saza do, that punish him. They punished him with slippers and other things, or kapdon se unhe mara. And then Prophet ﷺ said to the companion, because this was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, the punishment was very severe. When Prophet ﷺ then gave a decree that now it's 80. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala knows also 80 lashes. But at that time, this punishment was not applicable at that time. So it was a light punishment for him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hukam diya, sahaba ko hukam diya ke usse nasihat karo, usse bura bala kaho, usko nasihat karo. And then she said to the companion that admonished him as well, admonish him. He did not participate himself. He said admonish him, uske baad usse chhod diya, after they left him. Jab wo peet pher ka chala gaya, when he went away, so log us par baddua karne lage. People began to curse him and pray for his destruction, that may Allah destroy this person. Allah par isko lanat kar, curse him, that so many times the kehne lage, koi kehne wala kehta, some said, ay Allah isko ruswa kar, oh Allah disgrace him. Koi kehta, ay meri Allah is par lanat kar, oh Allah curse him. And so many times that he has come with this sin, and he still not after Prophet seeing Rasulullah has said to him, he's still not following. But when they were saying this, Rasulullah said that after Rasulullah farmaya ki is tarah mat kaho, do not say like this, aur apne bhai ke khilaf shaitan ke madadgar mat bano. Do not help shaitan against your brother. Do not be helpers of shaitan against your brother. Apne bhai ke khilaf shaitan ke maawan mat bano. Lekin tum us tarah kaho, say like this, ay Allah, oh my Allah, oh my God, oh my Allah, uski maghfirat kar, forgive him, forgive his sin, ay meri Allah, usko hidayat de, oh Allah, guide him, grant him repentance and make him steadfast. and say, oh, and another ayat, O Allah, kaho Allah tujh par hai, O Allah, may Allah have mercy on you. So this Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, regarding this person, in another hadith, in another riwayat, Rasulullah said, do not curse him. Aapne farmaya us par lanat na bhej, ye Allah aur uske Rasool ko dost rakhta hai, that he likes Allah and his passenger, that he believes he is a believer. So from this hadith and also from many verse, some verses of the Quran, it is the ulama has said, concluded that it is not allowed to hate a Muslim for sin. It is not allowed to hate a Muslim for his sin. His sins are separate from him. He is to be loved, meaning that he has iman in him, he is loved. So it is not allowed to curse a Muslim, and it is not allowed to. It is a great sin. Like Hazrat Salma bin Aqba رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ فرماتے ہیں کہ جب ہم کسی آدمی کو دیکھتے, when we saw someone کہ وہ اپنے بھائی پر لعنت کرتا, that he is cursing his brother or his sister or any person, any Muslim, ہم یہی خیال کرتے, we used to think that ایسا کرنے والے نے گناہ کبیرہ کا ارتکاب کیا, that he has committed a major sin, not no minor but a major sin. تو مسلمان اگر وہ زنا کر رہا ہے, شراب پی رہا ہے, that he is sinning, he is acting disobediently, his sin should be hated. اس کے گناہ سے نفرت کرو, اس کی ذات سے, not his person as such. But we mix, and shaitan also plays with us through this. When we see any person, we begin to hate this person. Oh, this evil person, he is alcoholic and he is drug addiction. If this was the case, then how righteous, how these people were called back by Anbiya alayhi salam to the righteousness? If they are so hated and so left alone, then why Allah Azza wa Jal sent his most beloved prophets actually to bring these people back to his path and truth? So hate the sin, not the sinner. If the doctor or the physician begins to hate the wound or the wounded person or the diseased person, that he has ate, he is diabetic and they've got this strange kind of disease, he begins, how will he treat? He cannot treat. So in the hospitals here, I've seen the people have left their mother and father who they love so much. They say, we cannot change the toiletries or dietary needs, or they soil their bed or change nappies of elderly, very elderly people. Even children, even their daughters and sons who are now young and in a youth or mature age, they feel hesitant and say, no, we cannot. And the nurses, they are changing day and night. Nurse wo kari jo apne maa baap ke liye bhi bande log karte hai. Person cannot actually do this for him. But the nurses, why? Because the nurses are trained in such a way, they are shown that, look, this is nothing wrong. This person is person separate. His filth is something separate. His blood is something separate. You don't hate the person or the human being. You hate the disease. You do not like what anything discharge, you clean that, and that person will be same as him. And I remember a great scholar of India, Maulana Sheikh Mahmood Al Hassan Rahmatullah Alayhi, Sheikh Al Hind, who was a great scholar, and in time of British Empire, he was put in a jail, prison, and he was lured with such thing that, imagine, he was a great scholar of Ulama Deoband, and also a great Wali of his time. They put him in such a, because he was working against the occupation of British Empire over India, Bangladesh, Pakistan and some other areas. They were under the occupation of British Empire, even Australia and countries like this. So they put him in a jail with, and his student, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Badni, his murid and his student, he also, when they took the teacher to the jail, and he voluntarily, he said, I am also going and accompanying in jail. But they were not, they did not charge him of anything, but because of the love of his teacher, that was the how these people got so blessing in their knowledge, in their wisdom, in their knowledge, unke ilm mein, taqwe mein, itni barkat, itni hoti, wo apne ustad ka kitna ehtiram kar rahe hain. and which we are teachers who have taught us Quran, oh, he's only gets 150 pounds, I get 500. He is nothing. Or the person who has been teaching you, or the parents, not bothered. So, but that disrespect is manifested in you. You don't have any knowledge. The noor of ilm, the light of knowledge is extinguished from you. The knowledge of the light of taqwa is extinguished when you don't respect parents and ulama and scholars, especially your ustad hote hain. So he said voluntarily that I will accompany my teacher. So they allowed him. They said, it's up to you. If you want to spend some time in jail, why does it bother us? You spend. So he did khidmat in the jail for so much, in the prison, so long time on a certain Malta, on such an island or a place where the very severe punishment, imprisonment was there, because they were thought as rebellious people from the government. In that jail, they say that because these people were righteous people and they knew that these people are righteous people, they were praying and doing zikr as well, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servant is happy. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps him in prison, he is happy. If he gives him kingdom, he's happy. Like Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was in jail 7 years, there he was also praising Allah azza wa jal. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a king and a minister of treasury, he was still obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is how awliya Allah and righteous people of Allah. So while they were in the prison, they said that they are worshipping and they have purity, etc. They filled the prison up to this level with filth, with urine and stool, up to this level, in the room which they were, up to this level, completely all the gutter, they actually discharged there for them. So up to their knees, they were filled in filth. But in those conditions, they also remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they did not leave their prayers. However they did, there were scholars of those people. And then they send most beautiful and attractive women to lure them. So somehow they commit sin, then all the help of Allah, they will be deprived and bereft of help of Allah. Then when Allah, their Lord, become displeased, then they send every day, every night, adorned with lot of makeup, with fragrance, and most beautiful women and girls they send, and they will sit with them in their room all night with semi-naked clothes. And these people are doing the zikr and praying tahajjud, and actually they will not even cast one glance towards them. In the morning, they will go back and they say that these people who you send, they are not human beings. They are insan nahi. So those people, these type of people are the true awliya Allah. Ek hum hai, no woman is coming, but I am switching on the TV, that maybe I see a beautiful woman. Woman is going on the street, yes, I am very shameful that no one is looking at me, I shall look her glance. Nauzubillah. What is that is one our actually attitude and our level of taqwa, which even shaitan I think actually will laugh actually. And one is these people, kabai jinko burai or shar and other all chances and opportunities of sins are given to them, and they don't actually cast a glance on them. And many of those women they used to send, they were not pious women, obviously. It is written in the history that they became Muslim. Wo Musliman aur unhone kaha ki aisa jo hai insaan jo hai wo aam insaan nahi, the normal human being cannot be so steadfast. They are away from their home, their wives are not with them. People even outside, if they have one, two, three wives, they still like looking and glancing like animals actually on other women as well. They are casting their glances, no matter if they have one wife or two wives or three wives. That if they don't have taqwa, even they will have four wives, still they are going to do the evil deeds. And these people sitting and they not even cast a glance, nor cursed us, nor said anything to us, and they were doing, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this student of Shaykh Mahmud al-Hassan says that Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmahullah, he says at that night in the jail when they were in the prison, sometimes he would, his ustad, there wasn't even a toilet there actually. And his teacher became sick, and the toilet was far away, and he could not go. It was not in the room. The teacher will discharge stool. Wo apna pishab jo hai unka ustad wo kamre mein karta, and he behind him with his hands used that he take the stool and actually take it to the toilet. Wo apne haath se uthata. So this is the type of people which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then becomes proud and boasts over the angels. Ye hai mere awliya Allah. These are righteous people. Ye hai mere bande, jinke liye I set you prostrate in front of Adam. It is because of these people. Wa inka itna darja. Aur Allah ke liye ye kar rahe hain. And the time of tahajjud, it is said that Mawlana Shaykh al-Madani rahmatullah is respecting and honoring his teacher. And water cold and tahajjud time, he during the daytime, he is tortured, he is whipped, and all the wounds are actually so fresh, and cold water is put on it, more actually aggravates, and it becomes painful, and he will heat the water. There is no fire available, but he will heat the water on a in a tub, in a, let's say, in a bucket, a small bucket, and he will lie on the bucket with his stomach on the bucket. वो अपने जो पेट है ये उस पर लगा देते द सम हीट विल फ्लो इन टू द बकर एंड वॉटर एट लीस्ट दैट वॉटर इज नॉट वेरी वेरी कोल्ड इट विल कम सो ऑल नाइट फ्रॉम इशा टू तहज्जुद ही विल लाई ऑन द बकेट सो दैट द वॉटर एक्चुअली लिटिल बिट इज वार्म एंड देन इन द फ्रंट ही विल गिव टू हिज टीचर एंड ही तो इमेजिन ही द ब्लेसिंग दे हैड फ्रॉम अल्लाह सुभान व तआला एंड रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम इतना उनका दर्जा एंड दे वर So loved by Prophet ﷺ, such viands and such a blessing they had. And at the time of Jummah kal mubarak jab hota, sunnah is such important thing. Maulana Shaykh Mahmud al-Hassan and also his student, he would prepare, he would do ghusl, he would put on clothes and he would put on fragrance, he cut his nails, clip his nails, etc. He would prepare for the Jummah and go towards the door of the jail and prison. There the prison officer over there, he says, you cannot go. There's no, you can't go out of the prison. So he will come back. At the time, so he's done so many times, the prison officers also said to him, his student also said that, Hazrat, that every time, every Friday, you prepare, you do ghusl and you actually do this, and you know when you're going, they're not going to let you out. Why actually you go again and again and again and again? He said that for two reasons I go there. One is that at least I am not deprived of the sawab of sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ki sunnat jo hai, usse to main mahroom na hoon. Juma to nahi main pad sakta. Friday prayer is first, which is not wajib on me now, but it is. But still, the sunnat is on this day, so I cannot actually pray or follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in praying the Friday prayer. But I can wash my body, I can put clean clothes, I can put fragrance water if I have. And I will follow and put on sunnat libas and go. This is one of the things that's jitna kar sakta. Second thing is that I have to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I followed your command up to where I could. In my opinion, in my power and my ability is only to go to the door. Mere ikhtiyar mein hai, main door tak chala jaun, to the door of the prison. I'll go to the door. The rest is so Allah, so I can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me that, oh Allah, I did not leave the instruction, your hukam, but I went as much as I could. Then after that, it was not in my. It is said that that prison officer which he used to visit also became Muslim. Wo bhi Musliman ho gaya. Aur kitne unhone logon ne jo hai in prison they became righteous and they became Muslim. And then they were released as well. So this is just a very, very small part of their life. If you study their whole books have been written on their life, how awliya Allah and the people who, not even prophets, they have been living and then they were released from prison and they served Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deen. And because of their efforts that now the India or Bangladesh or Pakistan is free from the empire. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith that Muslim should never be cursed. Don't help shaitan. If a person is bad, you say you are evil, go, you are helping shaitan, he will become more evil. Your help for him is that you help him, pray for him, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and give him sincere advice, good advice, and then inshallah he will benefit as well. And if you do otherwise, then you are helping shaitan. Then you are helping shaitan. Because shaitan wants that person to go away, to go more further away. and then you will be also be helping, then actually it will become more difficult. And Rasulullah said, "You'll help your brother if he is oppressed or he is oppressor. Apne bhai ki madad karo, beshak wo mazloom ho ya zalim. Even he is mazloom, he is oppressed, or he is oppressor if he is even oppressing zalim." So companion asked Ya Rasulullah, "We understand how to help the oppressed, how to help the person who is mazloom, who is being punished, to just to try to save him. How, what does it mean to help the oppressor, to help him? He is already torturing and doing oppression. How we help?" He said, "Help him by stopping him from the oppression against his brother, helping him from oppression to also help that brother against the shaitan. Otherwise, you will be helping shaitan." So today, if you only put this in your mind, inshallah, we'll go in more detail in the teaching of Shaykh Abdul Aziz Dabar Rahmatullah Alayhi. Has expounded very much on this topic, especially he considers it utmost important. Is that a Muslim, no matter how sinful, it is no excuse for you to hate him. Only when he becomes kafir, then actually, because the iman is gone, now actually, the kufr, you are allowed to hate the kufr and kuffar. But not the Muslim, no matter how many sins they are forgiven, how much wrong they have done, they are, because why? Their iman is in them, and inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives their sin, they are clean as they were before. As the awliya Allah say, that the Muslim's example is like a diamond. The diamond can sometimes be in gutter, with filth, urine, everywhere the diamond is there. Sometimes it falls into it. But if the diamond is taken out and washed, the same glitter and the shining and radiance will be there. The diamond is diamond. Diamond never loses its nature. So similarly, iman never, actually, iman is already there in the person. So if outside filth of sins and wrong things have soiled that person, when you will take him out by your good advice, and he will be washed with the water of tawbah and water of repentance, he will shine like actually as a real diamond, a real mu'min and believer and righteous servant of Allah. So I think we finish here. If you have any question, you can inshallah ask regarding this or any other matter for our benefit. The baat puchni hai for more clarification or any other question, inshallah you ask. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. جزاك الله. Thank you for your time and I thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for your